as well. This is the entire outline for the series. I thought you might want to just see the whole thing up front and then take your notes right on here, or you can have an expanded copy if you want. Before we get in the message this morning, a couple of prayer requests. Dolores Johnson's husband is having open heart surgery on Friday, and let's remember him in our prayers. And then Elma Tula fell and broke his hip, had surgery earlier this week, and is in the nursing home in Woodville. So let's pray for them this morning. Father, we lift up these requests to you today. Lord, we pray for Dolores as her husband goes into surgery, Lord, that you would be with her and give her peace of all, first of all. Lord, that you would be with him as he undergoes this procedure on Friday. Lord, that you would bring healing to his heart through this surgery. Father, that you would be with the doctors there and all that are involved in that operating room. Lord, that everything would go smoothly. Lord, that you would grant him health and healing. And Father, we continue to pray for Al as well, as he has taken this fall, and we thank you that he did so well in the surgery and is doing well and in good spirits, and just pray your continued blessing and healing upon him. May it be very quickly, go very quickly. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today, continuing this idea of increasing your life potential, getting the most from what is given to you. And God gives us the power to diminish or enlarge our life's potential. And today I would like to talk to you about how to do that, how to enlarge your life potential. If you turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. I will get there in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. I read in the encyclopedia a little bit about Israel and discovered some things. One encyclopedia said that Israel has few natural resources and imports more goods than it exports. Still, it has achieved a relatively high standard of living. More than 90% of Israel's people can read and write, and the level of unemployment is low. I want to talk about how Israel is poor in energy sources. It has no coal deposits and only a small amount of crude oil and natural gas. Former Prime Minister Golda Meir said, I'm sure she said this tongue-in-cheek, she said, Moses was not a good leader. He led his people all over the Mideast and settled in the only piece of real estate without any oil. I want you to just tuck those thoughts away in your memory, and I'll tell you why I use them later on in the message this morning, and even expound a little bit more on that next week. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 is a verse that has just always amazed me. I don't quite understand it, but I believe it to be true. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask, or here's the thing, even think, according to the power that worketh in us. Could we read that verse together this morning? I want you to get the impact of it by reading it out loud. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I want to talk to you about how to live a life without worldly limits. Without worldly limits. I'm going to challenge you to do the things necessary to extend and expand your life's potential, to reach your life potential is one thing, but then to even go beyond that and to expand it is something else, something far more important. And this is, I would say that this is probably one of the most important messages I've ever preached. And I'm not going to be doing a lot of yelling and jumping and screaming around, but the points that are in this message today, I think, are vital for every single one of us. We're going to talk about your life's calling. And your life's calling is a specific assignment from God, an assignment from God for you to minister to a specific group of people. Now, your calling doesn't change, but it can be enlarged or diminished. So God has given you a calling in life, let's say. And here's the potential of that calling. I believe that you can grow that calling, you can enlarge it, or you can actually do things that would even diminish the calling and the potential that God has given you for your life. We are not born just to live and to die. Amen. That's not the reason we are here. We are meant to do something for God while we are here. And whatever it is, I want to extend your thinking and say that you can enlarge that. You can enlarge your impact. I'm talking today about enlarging your opportunities, your influence, and even your ministry. Now, 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10 is a verse that has become very famous because of Bruce Wilkinson writing the book, The Prayer of Jabez. But it says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And here's the thing. God granted him that which he requested. God answered his prayer, and God did bless him. And God did enlarge his coast, and God did put his hand upon him, and God did keep him from evil. God did those things for him simply because he asked for it to be done. I was thinking about Esther. You know, you all know the story of Esther and how this king was tricked by Haman into one day allowing all the Jews to be massacred, to be killed and put to death. And so Mordecai, Esther's uncle, came to her and said, "We would like you to go and approach the king for us and plead for your lives and the lives of your people." And it was a very dangerous thing in those days to approach the king without being asked. She was really taking her own life into her hands by doing such a thing. If the king did not extend his scepter to her, she'd be put to death. And so she said, "Well, before I do this, before I approach the king, I'd like everybody to pray and fast with me for 3 days." That's how serious it was. But there's an interesting verse in Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. "And Mordecai said these words to her, For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement," notice that word enlargement, "enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Do you see that Esther had the power to bring enlargement to her life and the lives of her people, to the Jews? So what happened? She had this potential to bring enlargement to her life, and if she didn't, deliverance would come from someplace else. Deliverance was going to come. Deliverance would come by somebody else, but the limiting of her potential would happen to her and to her family. And so he says, who knows? Maybe that this is the reason that you are in the place in the kingdom that you are at. Maybe this is the reason why God has allowed you to be queen. You know, I think that there are key moments in our life. We come across key opportunities when God has placed us in those situations for that time. And at that time, we can bring enlargement to our life and to our ministries and to those that are around us, or we could limit the potential of our lives and our ministries. God's work is going to get done, but individually, we have the opportunity to enlarge our potential or have it go down. Now, I talked last week about how Israel was meant to have a land area 10 times the size it has now or ever has had. It will get that someday when Jesus comes, but right now, it doesn't possess all the land that God said they could have. Remember Golda Meir's statement. Moses was a poor leader, led them all over the Middle East, settled in the only place where there wasn't oil. And somebody might say, what about Joshua chapter 21 and verse 43, where it says, and the Lord God gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. I looked it up in some commentaries because I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I wanted to get what was meant by that verse. And it appears that the emphasis is not on the word all, but on the land. And we know that they didn't get all the land that God possessed, told them that they could possess, because Joshua 13:1 says, now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. And after that point, they didn't possess any more land. So I was thinking, God, what are you trying to say here? And I believe that what God is trying to say was that they had a complete piece of the land. If you picture it like a pie, they had a complete piece of the pie. They didn't have the whole pie, but they had a piece of the pie. The whole pie would have been theirs if they had possessed it. But they didn't take advantage of the opportunities that God had said that they could have. And so they possessed a whole piece of that. And as I think about that, I think in our Christian life, you know, if you're here today and you have been saved, you're a child of God, you have a complete piece of salvation. But there's so much more that God has for you. The salvation experience is just the beginning. But there's a lot more that God has promised to you. God says that you could have, if you would just follow him and grasp all that he has. You receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think that's another piece of the pie that God has for us. You're baptized in water. That's another piece of the pie. It's a complete piece. But there's still far more that God has for us. I preached an entire series on possessing the promised land. And I think that we need to possess as much of it as we possibly can. I think we need to enlarge our potential as much as we possibly can. And I think someday, and I just wonder, okay, so don't take my word here as fact, but I wonder, could it be when we get to heaven and God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that what we did was well done, but there was still some things that we left undone that we could have done, that we could have enlarged our potential even more. Now, if you're here today and you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you this. You are looking from the outside into the promised land. You have not possessed any of it. Not one single piece of the pie. And so that's where it begins. It begins by you accepting Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life, letting him bring your spirit to a place of new birth. And then, that's just the beginning. God has many exciting things in store for you. I think most of us don't take as much in life as God wants us to have. You know, we get a piece of it, and we say, wow, this is good pie. This is great. The Christian life is a good thing. It's great. I enjoy it so much. And we do. And we're happy with what we have attained. But I think there's still more. I think there's still more blessing, still more opportunities, still more influence, still more enlargement that awaits us. So, what we need to do is enlarge your life's potential, your life calling. Enlarge your life calling. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Your calling in life is like the foundation of a building. It's solid so that you can expand and build on it later. I don't know, did you know that we built even this church to be expanded? We can tear out this wall, we could just mirror this sanctuary and have the complete thing redone over there. It was meant to be expanded. Do we have a whole complete building here? We do. But we haven't reached the full potential of it. We could still expand it. Same way in our lives, in our Christian life. We are complete in Christ. We have a piece of that building. It's a building as it stands, but there's still built into it room for expansion. It's solid so that you can build and expand on it. And there are general callings for all believers. And these callings are the basis for discovering your specific calling. Let me give to you some general callings. These are things that all believers need to be doing, according to the Bible. Okay? Callings for all believers. First of all, to do good. Do good. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith. So we're supposed to do good to all people, but especially fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, especially other Christians. Another general calling is to pray for all that are in authority. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Another calling that we all have is to care for the fatherless and the widows. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Another general calling that we all have is to obey the Great Commission. Jesus gave it to us. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach or disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, what happens if you don't know what your specific calling in life is? Then you just begin to work on these general callings. Get busy doing those general callings until God shows you more. Now, here's some ways that you can identify your specific calling in life. One of the ways is by seeing the critical needs of believers around you. It's like maybe God has opened your eyes to see the needs of other Christians that are around you. And you could be the one to meet those needs. Nehemiah saw the great need for the walls to be rebuilt. And so that became his life calling and the direction for his life. Another way that you can find out what your specific calling is by having two or three rhemas. And let me say this. That word rhema has been taken to such misused proportions today that we are afraid of the word altogether. But the word rhema is an important word. And basically, a rhema is God's word applied to your life. Have you ever read the scriptures, and you read the verse before, but all of a sudden that verse just kind of leapt off the page at you? And you knew that that verse was for you? That God gave you that verse for that situation or for whatever it is. But God gave you that verse. That becomes a rhema. I've had two or three important rhemas in my life that have directed the shape and the course of my ministry. You know how important that word rhema is? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, by every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So what's Jesus saying? He's saying that you need God's word applied to your life. That is essential for life. And take the sword of the Spirit, Paul said, which is the word or the rhema of God. The way that we do battle with Satan is not just a casual reading of the scriptures, but it's reading the scriptures and getting a word for our lives and for our situation. And that word becomes a sword that we do battle against Satan with. And we're supposed to let our decisions be determined by in the mouth of two or three rhemas. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. How do you build your faith? Not just a casual reading of the Word, but you read the Word and you apply the Word to your life. That's how we build faith into our lives. So rhemas are important, and look for God to give you rhemas and direction for your life as you read His Word. Another way is by God's evident blessing on what you are doing. Joseph was in the right spot at the right time. Obviously, God wanted him to do what he was doing as God blessed him. Another way is by a special burden from God. God just might give you a heart for a group of people or to do something. And it's a burden that he has given you. Moses, at the age of 40, sensed that God wanted him to be a deliverer. He didn't do it until he was 80, but he sensed this as a special burden from the Lord. And God has given people special burdens, and maybe he has given you a special burden. And you haven't seen that happen yet. Don't give up. But just continue to trust God, because someday he's going to give you the opportunity to be able to do what he has burdened you to do. But after so many years, sometimes people just give up and say, you know, I don't think God ever did mean for me to do that. Yes, he did. And you cannot faint or lose heart. God will allow you to do what he has called you to do when the time is right. And then by taking the initiative to follow opportunities that God gives you, lots of opportunities come our way. And if we are not careful, we will miss them. And so when an opportunity comes your way, you need to stop and you need to think, Lord, is this an opportunity for me? Is this something you want me to be involved in? Are you going to direct my life through this opportunity? You know how many countless missionaries have been called into mission services because they took advantage of missionary trips and things? And just as they took advantage of the opportunities that were there, God placed a call upon their life. And then by direct call from God, Jeremiah, Paul, David, and others had a direct call from God. By seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Acts 1:8, I love it. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in," where? "Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Peter began his ministry to the Jews, but it expanded beyond that. Notice the enlargement here. Notice the expansion. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. That's the kind of expansion that God wants us to have. You know, Moses said an interesting thing. In Numbers chapter 11 and verse 29, it records, Moses said, "Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." That prayer is answered on the day of Pentecost. And then Peter gets up and he says, this thing is not just for you, but it's not just for you and not just for your children either. It's for all that are afar off. And one aspect of prophecy is that God speaks to a person about his future. Prophecy is foretelling, but it's also forthtelling. It's about the future. And so God sends the spirit of prophecy so that you can have insight into your future, because God wants you to understand what he wants to do with your life. So what is your life calling? It's a specific assignment from God for you to minister to a particular group of people. Now let me say this, the calling doesn't change. It may be enlarged or diminished, but the calling doesn't change. Jesus came to be the Messiah of the Jews. They rejected him. Did he quit? No. He opened his arms wide and took the whole world. Peter was a minister to the Jews, but God expanded his ministry to the Gentiles. He's the first one to take that message to the Gentiles. Remember his vision of these unclean things? God says, get up and go to the house of Cornelius. But God, he's a Gentile. That's okay, I want to include the Gentiles. And so in Acts chapter 10, Peter took the message to the Jews, and the whole world has been blessed because of his ministry. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, but also had a burden for the Jews. Joseph was called to save his family, save them alive in time of famine. He wound up saving Israel, Egypt, and the other surrounding nations as well. Timothy was called to serve Paul. When he served Paul faithfully, he was then called to serve the church at Ephesus. If you are faithful in what God has called you to do right at this moment, even it might be just a small thing, but if you're faithful to serve God in that calling, then he'll expand it like he did with Timothy. You just start out serving Paul. Before long, he's serving the church at Ephesus. His ministry was soon felt all over the first century churches because of the letters that Paul wrote to him. And now his ministry is felt by every church who reads the New Testament. A calling is as much to who as it is to what. A calling is as much to who as it is to what. John Wesley was called to the common people of England. Did God expand his ministry? We have the Methodist Church. George Mueller was called to serve orphans. And now his ministry of caring for orphans, that same kind of ministry, is all over the world. And you know, he started those orphanages just to prove to people of the faithfulness of God. And I have taken George Mueller's insights in how to discover God's will for my life. And many people read George Mueller's biographies and the biographies of his life and his autobiography, and they are blessed and encouraged as a result. D.L. Moody was called to serve the children of Chicago. And then, did God expand his ministry? Here in Chicago, overseas, Moody Ministries today. David Wilkerson was called to serve the gangs and drug addicts of New York City. As a result of that came Teen Challenge. As a result of that came World Challenge. Where's David Wilkerson now? Anybody know? He's where? He's right back in New York City where he started from, isn't he? Because God's calling doesn't change. It can be enlarged, it can be diminished, but it doesn't change. I have a friend who's called to the inner city. We were the best of friends, his wife and my wife at North Central. We did a lot together, and it just seemed like whenever one of us was going through something, the other couple had just been through it. And so we were encouraging and exhorting one another all the way through. But his heart was the inner city, unlike mine. And he was called to youth pastor at Hopkins, a large church in the cities. And although he enjoyed ministry, he just didn't enjoy it as much as if he could pastor an inner city church. And so he prayed that God would give him an inner city church to pastor. And one day he got a call from a church in the city limits of Chicago. And Debbie and I went to visit him once. And I don't care to go back because the neighborhood that he is in is unbelievable. I mean, his yard is fenced in with a padlock on. And the church, you have to ring the doorbell and you have to be met by ushers and approved to go in the church before you can go in there because he's in such a dangerous area. And he was telling me how he was out with his video camera, videotaping drug deals as they would go down, and then go back to his board and show them these videos and say, we need to raise more money to reach the gangs of Chicago. Now, that's not my ministry, but that's his. That's what God had called him to do. There's all kinds of callings. There's all kinds of people groups that God would have us be interested in. Your calling might be to the poor. It might be to public leaders. It might be to families. It might be to husbands. It might be to wives. It might be to husbands and wives. It might be to prisoners. It might be to the sick. It might be to widows. It might be to orphans. It might be to singles. There's all kinds of possibilities. Where's your heart? And let me say this, your life calling is more important than your life work. Your life work helps you fulfill your life calling. But your recognition in life should be by your life calling. Let me ask you, do you remember the Apostle Paul more because of his life work or his life calling? In other words, do you remember him more as an apostle or a tent maker? We remember him, of course, because he's an apostle. What was Peter's calling? Well, we already mentioned he was called to the Jews. What was Peter's occupation? Fisherman. But do you know you don't read much about Peter's occupation after he started his life calling? Luke was called to serve Paul. What was his occupation? He was a physician. He was a doctor. Now, you need to find out what your calling in life is. And that's what you need to begin to focus on. Because that is more important than what you do for a living. What you do for a living helps you fulfill your life calling. And now, you can do that. This is why this message is so exciting to me. Because you don't have to be in full-time Christian service to have a life calling. By far, most of us here will not be in full-time Christian service. But that doesn't mean that God has not called us. That doesn't mean that God does not have a work for you to do. Now, there's nothing wrong with being in full-time Christian service, Christian ministry. It gives more opportunity, more time to be able to do your specific calling. But my calling into full-time Christian ministry is not any more important than your calling. They're all important. But you need to make your calling and election sure. Life callings of mates should complement each other. And then, how do we increase our life potential? Number two, by asking God to enlarge your coast. Simply asking him. Bible says you have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be opened unto you. Just by prayer. Prayer is also essential for long-lasting motivation. It deepens your commitment and allows you to remove obstacles to that commitment on a daily basis. And of course, we get the basis for this point, asking God to enlarge your coast from Jabez. Here's what the Jewish people teach about Jabez. The Jewish people were greatly blessed by the influence of Jabez. His mother had seven children. Things you won't find out in the book of Jabez. His mother had seven children. His father died. As soon after his mother found out that she was expecting a child, right after his father died, his father begat him. He died. Then he was born. Before his father died, all his father's inheritance was divided among the other children. So Jabez had no inheritance. His mother thought that he had no chance in the world. With no living father and no inheritance. And so she named him Jabez, which means son of my sorrow. On the 13th birthday of Jabez, he went to the temple for his bar mitzvah, where he made a public prayer. So when you read the prayer of Jabez in the Bible, you are reading the prayer of a 13-year-old boy. 13-year-old boy. In that prayer, Jabez asked God to enlarge his coast. But listen to why God was able to give it to him. It was more than just he asked for it. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. You see, God's promises come with conditions. And I fear that we run the risk of turning the prayer of Jabez into some quick get-rich-thick formula, or just an easy way to get our prayers answered, or manipulating God to get what we want instead of asking God for what we need, or instead of asking God for what He wants out of our lives. And that's the difference in all the world. James says, you have not because you ask not, or because you ask amiss. You ask for the wrong reasons, that you could consume it upon your own lust. But if you ask God to enlarge your life potential, not for your sake, not for your own selfish interests, but to enlarge it for His sake, then I'm confident that God will answer your prayer as well and enlarge your coast like He did Jabez's. Before you pray for prosperity, pray for purpose, because God won't finance self-indulgence. And success without character can derail you, or it can even destroy you. And sometimes it's a blessing then to not get what we ask for. The truth is that if our motives are selfish, God won't, He won't answer it. He won't let us fulfill our lusts. Well, the people of the synagogue that heard that 13-year-old pray that day were so overwhelmed that they took him into the synagogue and they trained him. When he was almost 30 years old, a new temple was built 60 miles away. Jabez was given that city, the city of Jabez. And the city of Jabez grew around the temple that had been built there. And so here's a city, but in the middle of that city, the heart of that city, the focus of the city was a temple where Jewish leaders were being trained. And in that temple, Jabez began to train rabbis, priests, and scribes. And for four generations, people were taught scripture in the university that Jabez created. God enlarged his coast. God enlarged his potential. God enlarged his ministry. How do you enlarge your life potential? By faithfully accepting whatever responsibilities God gives you. We'll have more to say about this next week, but you faithfully accept whatever responsibilities God has given you at this point. Why do you do that? So that He can give you more. If you are faithful in the little things, He will make sure that you have more responsibility over greater things. In fact, God uses the least, the little, and the last. He uses those who feel the least important. He uses those who feel the most inadequate. He uses those who put others first. Gideon said he was the least in his family. Saul said his family was the least of all. Paul said that he was the least of the apostles. Bethlehem, where Christ was born, was the littlest among the cities. The mustard seed is the littlest of all seeds. When Saul was little in his own eyes, God made him king over all Israel. Benjamin was the last born, but he was given a double portion. Paul was the last of the apostles. We could argue that he became the greatest. Jesus said that the last shall be first. What is your specific calling in life? Really, don't be too concerned about it. Don't worry a great deal. Just be faithful in the general callings of life. Be faithful in the opportunities that God has given you. Be faithful in the responsibilities that you now have. And God will enlarge your potential. He will enlarge your life. He will enlarge your ministries in ways that you cannot even think of. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God can do more than you even dream. That's the part I don't quite understand, but I believe it because the Bible says it to be true. Can I have you bow your heads? how to increase your life potential. Enlarging your life calling by asking God for more, to enlarge your coast, and by being faithful in the responsibilities He has already given. I wonder if you had purpose before God this morning that you would do just that. You'd do just that. You'd begin to work, or you'd begin to work harder on your life calling. You'd ask God to enlarge your coast. And you'd be faithful. That's not real difficult. It's something that we could all do. Every single one of us here this morning can walk out of here just by doing these things, enlarging the potential of our lives. But specifically today, I wonder if you would just ask God, enlarge my coast. Just pray it today. Enlarge my coast. Enlarge my influence. Enlarge my ministry. And if there's something in your life, you know that God can't do it because of something in your life, would you just confess that to Him today? Don't let it hinder you. Don't let it diminish your life potential. How many of you are praying that today? Could I see your hand? I'm praying, God, enlarge my coast. Amen. Amen. Lord, you see these hands here this morning, and you know each heart. You know how honorable each one is. And I pray, Lord, today that those that have raised their hands and those that have said in their heart, enlarge my coast, that they would begin to see their potential being enlarged and expanded. Bless them. Bless them with this, O Lord. And I pray today that you would be with those that are trying to discover what exactly your calling for their life is. Lord, that as they rest and wait upon you, in your time, you would reveal that to them. I pray, Lord, that your word would come alive like it has never been before. That as we read it, we would see new insights and new applications for us. Lord, that you would give us rhemas. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.